Hello, hello, and welcome. This is Rocky V with the Rocky Horror Show. And tonight, I just wanted to tell the story of Yeonmi Park and her escape from North Korea and how terrifying it must have been for her. It's an incredible story. I wish I could have her on the show, but I only have a dozen followers or so. So anyway, let me just hop right into the story. So Yeonmi Park, she's from North Korea. And in North Korea, they're so isolated that their education, they didn't have much of an education. Any education they did have was state-sanctioned education where they were not allowed too much knowledge. Now, the Korea, one thing she mentioned in the interview I saw was that North Korea is set up very similar to the Hunger Games, that book, where there is a capital and there's 13 districts. And I remember her saying that you can never marry up. Like if somebody was, you know, in a higher district than you or a higher social class than you, and they were to marry somebody that was in a lower social class, then they would be knocked down to the lower social class. The other person would not be brought up. And they do that to keep everybody from being able to climb the ladder, you know, in society and come from a, if you, so basically what she was saying is if you come from a poor region, which most of them were poor regions except for the capital, if you came from a poor region, then you're stuck there no matter what, no matter who you married, you are always stuck there. And she says that death was all around her all the time. There's dead bodies in the streets like trash. And another place where there was a lot of dead bodies that I found interesting was in the subway. The subway, she said there was dead bodies like stacked up. And the kids would, the rats would eat the dead bodies and they would eat the eyes first. Probably because they're soft tissue. And these dead bodies carried diseases because they've been there so long, she said. They were like wood. The rigor mortis made them like wood. And the kids would catch the rats because everybody there is just starving. Like when you wake up in the morning, you don't think, oh, what am I going to do for the day? You think, how am I going to get enough food to survive until tomorrow? So that's all that was on their mind. Was they were in survival mode. Like everybody in North Korea is just stuck in survival mode so that they can't rebel or anything like that because they're too busy trying to just survive and eat. And it a lot of people die. And if you're like, if you're caught with something, like if you're caught, say you have a cow and the cow dies and you don't give it to the capital. If you're caught slaughtering that cow and eating its meat or even taking some of the meat, you would be killed. You would be executed. And there was also like, there's crimes where like not only would you be killed, but they would kill 8 generations of your family to literally obliterate your family tree. So if you got caught doing a crime like that, you know, you're grandchildren's children's children's and so on, once they became of a certain age, they would just kill them. They'd be executed. So that would be an interesting, it's not funny. I'm laughing because I can't believe that this even takes place. It sounds like a movie or a book. And she actually did write a book about it. Shoot, I can't remember what it's called. I'll have to Google it real quick. But yeah, so yeah, they would kill 8 generations of your family if you got caught doing certain crimes. And she said there's like, when she first, she escaped to China, and when she first got to China, she didn't understand a lot of things. Let me find out what name of her book is real quick. Let me just go to her wiki. So let's see. Da, 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 da. So here's a little thing about her. Park Yeon-mi, Korean, North Korean, born 4th of October 1993, also known as Yeon-mi Park, is a North Korean defector and activist whose family fled from North Korea to China in 2007 and settled in South Korea in 2009 before moving to the United States in 2014. Her family turned to black market trading during North Korea's economic collapse in the 1990s. Her father was sent to a labor camp for smuggling. So they have prison camps, labor camps, and they have extermination camps like Auschwitz. That's what she compared it to. In fact, I think, was it the UN even said it is as bad as the Holocaust was, what's going on there. So they fled to China, where Park and her mother fell into the hands of human traffickers, and she was sold into slavery before escaping to Mongolia. She is now an advocate for victims of human trafficking in China and works to promote human rights in North Korea and around the globe. She's done a lot of amazing things, speaking, and her story is interesting. Let's see, let me just get down to, let's see, works. So her book is called In Order to Live, A North Korean Girl's Journey to Freedom. So that, if you want to get a more detailed story of how she did it, why she did it, and all of that, definitely go and get her book. And either listen to it on Audible or you know, read it. So that's the name of the book, In Order to Live, a North Korean Girl's Journey to Freedom. So anyway, she's a young girl. She's 13 at the time, and she's so hungry. That is what. They asked her, why did you escape? You know, was it because you're oppressed? And she's like, we didn't know we were oppressed. We thought that this was normal life, and what they were taught of the outside world was worse. They were told a bunch of lies about how Americans looked and how things were in America and around the world. And so they thought they had it good. They thought the rest of the world was starving more than they were, but it got to a point where she was so hungry and starving that she either had to get out of there somehow, try to escape North Korea, or starve to death. So it was in her mind, it was obviously necessary to take the chance. She was like, I have no other choice. I can either try to escape North Korea or starve to death. And if she got caught escaping North Korea, she would just be killed anyway. So she figured, what's it matter? I'm gonna die anyway of starvation. I might as well try. So, and this is when they're living in the mountains near the Chinese border. Yeah, I kind of forgot about the kids. So the kids would eat these rats. They'd catch these rats to eat because they were starving. And they'd eat the rats. And the rats, you know, fed on dead bodies. And so they were diseased. And then the kids would die. And then it was like a cycle, she said. Like, then more kids would come. And they would eat the bodies of these dead children that the rats, or they would not eat the bodies of the dead children, but they'd eat the rats that were feeding on the bodies of these dead children that died from feeding on the rats before. That's how hungry they were. They were willing to risk their lives just for a meal, and in most cases it cost them their lives. They became diseased and died very quickly. And starvation, she also said, starvation does funny things to the body. It makes the body look weird. Like there was a child she bumped into that was just looking for food, and his intestines were hanging out of his back. I don't know, and when she said his intestines were hanging out of his back, if they were actually hanging out of his back, or if they're hanging like down from his like anus or something like that. I don't know. I haven't read the book myself, but I am gonna definitely do that. I'm probably gonna listen to it on Audible since I drive a lot. In fact, I probably should have done that before I made this podcast, but I just saw the interview with her and I was like, this story has to be told more. So I was like, if I can get this story on my podcast, at least, three or four people will listen to it and they will understand just how bad it is in North Korea and just, the similarities and the differences in America. So anyway, back to her story. She lived in North Korea. She wasn't of an upper, like she didn't live in the capital. She wasn't a higher society person. She was on the bottom of the totem pole. So, you know, it if you want to compare it to Hunger Games, she would have been like District 12, you know. Just starving to death, looking for any food. And finally, her and her mother decided, okay, they're going to try to get out of there. Her father was in a prison camp, so there's nothing they could do for him. So her and her mother, while living in the mountains there close to China, there's a river, and every winter it freezes over, and people with guns on the other Chinese people. There's the Chinese military with guns on the other side of this river have shoot to kill orders. If anybody tries to cross the river, doesn't matter who they are, they kill them. It's a shoot to kill order. But they were the people that were helping them help smuggle them out of North Korea into China. Actually paid the Chinese soldiers off with bribes. So they were actually able to cross this frozen river and get to the other side. And she said the first thing she noticed on the other side when she was in China was that there was this trash can, and she didn't know what it was. She was like, what is that? And the guy told her, it's a trash can. And she's like, what's a trash can? That's where we put the things that's trash that we don't need. And in her own mind, she was like, you guys have things you don't use, because in North Korea, they use everything. Like, they use everything. Like, they don't have products like we do here, like plastics and stuff like that. And if they do, they're being used as, you know, tools or parts to probably, my guess is, to build houses or shanties out of. But yeah, they didn't have trash in North Korea. Like, whenever they ate, they could eat, they would forage through the forest and find things to eat, and nothing went to waste. You know, they always they would build fires, they would eat very little, and very, very little. She said, when she was in North Korea, when she was 13, she weighed, it was incredible. It was like, she weighed practically next to nothing for a 13-year-old. And even now, she lives in America, she's only 80 pounds. She only weighs 80 pounds. And you know, she's a healthy person now. She's obviously a small person. And she says people there are small and short, especially the people in the lower districts who are starving because they're malnourished. And so they don't grow as tall as the people, say, in the capital with a higher social status. And then she also said, before we get back to them reaching China, she also said that they had the Bible was banned. You couldn't read the Bible. There was no Bibles. They had their own Bible that Kim Jong-il, the original, was it Kim Jong-il or his father? I don't know the name. They took the Bible and they replaced the name Jesus with Kim Jong-il. So it'd be like, you know, God created earth he gave his only begotten son, Kim Jong-il. It wouldn't say Jesus. And so the whole Bible, they pretty much copied the entire Bible and just changed the names to match Kim Jong-il, to make Kim Jong-il look like he was a god. And so so that's who they praised as their Lord. And it's nuts, the thing she was saying. Like, if you had a fire in your house, the first thing you were supposed to save wasn't your family, it was the pictures of the Kims that were on the wall, the dynasty, you know, of, and if you didn't save those, or if one of them got damaged, you would be executed right there in the street, or your whole family would be executed. So, all right, so she gets to China, and she just is amazed by this trash can, and that people have things that they throw away that they don't want anymore. She's like, how could you not want something? All we in North Korea, we use everything, you know? So in that sense, I guess North Korea is more environmentally friendly, just because of the people starving and the lack of funds. And the Kim Jong-un, the leader now, he spends all his millions and millions of dollars testing nuclear weapons. And she said if he does 40 tests a year, something like that, and each test is $25 million. And she said $25 million can feed the entire population for, I can't remember how long, like a year or something. So if he just did one less missile test, he could have fed the entire country. But that's not what he wanted. He wanted that country He wanted those people to be starving so that they were controlled and they weren't thinking about what he was doing and their oppression. They were thinking about food, about how to get their next meal. They didn't even realize they were oppressed. Now that's true in oppression. Is if you realize you're oppressed, that's this one thing she said is, if you realize you're oppressed, then you're not truly oppressed, because we were so brainwashed, we didn't even know we were oppressed. So they get over to China, and they're thinking, well, okay, we're in China, we're going to be taken to safety, but they were not taken to safety. They were sold into slavery. So her mother was sold to a man for $300, and went, well, first they crossed the border, and one of the soldiers raped her mother right in front of her. Nobody touched her. They tried, but she fought back too much, and they gave up, and because she was a virgin, which I guess in China, virgins are very sought after. So her mother gets sold to a man for $300, or for, no, I think she said her mother was sold for $100, and she was sold for $300 to a farmer because she was a virgin. Now, the farmer, you know, he tried to, you know, rape her too, but she kept fighting back, and he never was able to take her virginity. And I don't know what happened, but she said that she made a deal with the farmer about, I don't think it was about her being a virgin. I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think she made a deal. I don't know. The farmer said, I can get your mother, blah, blah, blah. I think the farmer really got to know her or something and became fond of her. And so he's like, I'll get your mother back. And so he did. He got her mother back. And so they're reunited in China as slaves on this farm. And then I'm trying to remember the entire story, but they ended up escaping through the frozen desert to Mongolia. There's this frozen desert, and usually the soldiers look after it, the Chinese soldiers, but in the middle of the winter, it's negative 40 degrees, you know, so it's like freezing cold. If you sit still for more than just a couple of minutes, you die. And they had a baby, and they didn't have, like, they just had regular shoes and regular clothes with real light jackets. They didn't have the proper equipment to be walking through a frozen desert in the middle of the winter, but they did. And she said she remembers, like, just telling herself to stay awake, to stay awake. And they'd pass the baby around to shake him to make sure the baby didn't fall asleep and die. And amazingly, it's a one-day journey across this frozen desert. Amazingly, they made it across, and then the Mongolian guards took them. And the Mongolian guards took them, and they were pretending like they were gonna kill them, like but it was just like a joke, a game. And she said, and that's when she started to cry a little bit. She's like, I couldn't believe that they were joking, you know, about our lives like that, like we are gonna die. But then at the end, they ended up letting them no, they didn't let them go. What they did is they I think they had them shipped to South Korea. And then once they got to South Korea, that's when things got well, I don't want to say better. They were obviously better, but they were very, very frightening for her. For one, she wasn't used to freedom. She didn't realize how important words are, you know, because in South Korea, they don't mean nothing. And in South Korea, they talk different. So in North Korea, words mean nothing, and North Koreans talk different. Instead of saying, I have a glass of water, they would say, we have a glass of raw water, and they would call each other comrades instead of friends, you know. And so South Koreans could tell that they're from North Korea because of their accent and the way they talked like that. And the South Koreans didn't take kindly to some of the North Koreans and most of the North Koreans. But she finally, when she got there, she said that she tried to go to school and she didn't understand anything because she was never taught anything. So she basically was like this grown, at the time, I think she said it was 13 when they escaped. Korea, and then around 15 in South Korea is when they had her start school, but she was in the third grade when she was 15 years old because she didn't know anything. She didn't even know the map of the world, what the map of the world looked like, or she didn't even know what Americans looked like, you know. Had like drawings in North Korea of just these like people with green eyes and big noses and that looked like evil, and America was an evil empire. And then she gets to South Korea and sees pictures of and meets soldiers from America, she may not have met soldiers from America, but she did. Yeah, she did finally see photos and learn in school about America, because South Korea is more colonial, you know, like Britain or America. It's more free. You're more free to do things there. And there's not much anything too exciting that happened in South Korea other than she got educated as best she could, graduated, and I believe after that, she wrote her book while she was in Korea, and then Penguin from New York City, the Penguin book distributors or whatever you want to call them, they were interested in her book, and so they flew her to New York. And that's how she got to America, and she was given citizenship in America. So she's now an American citizen. But the story of her getting to America is just devastating. You got to watch there's an interview that Tim Pool does with her. That is amazing. And then also, of course, Joe Rogan does an interview with her as well. The Joe Rogan interview really goes over deep, like step by step, how she got out of North Korea and just how bad it is over there. And so she gets to America, and they know she's escaped by now. Her mother and her had escaped, and they killed everybody. They killed everybody that was related to her. And she said in North Korea, you could have 10,000 cousins and not even know it. And in fact, she said, that's how many people died just because they defected and left North Korea, you know, that just thousands of people died, and they killed all of her family, and they even killed her neighbor. That's crazy to think about, that they killed her neighbor. But it's North Korea, that's what they do. You know, it truly is almost like the Hunger Games, except for they don't have a Hunger Games. I'm surprised Kim Jong-un hasn't, like, started a Hunger Games, because that man is, he's a sociopath, he's a psychopath. you know, the things he does. I mean, he had his own uncle killed, you know. He had plastic surgery and gained weight to look like his grandfather because how they explained that was that Kim Jong-un was actually the, not Kim Jong-il, but the one before him. I can't remember his name, but Kim Jong something. And he was the grandfather, and so he said he was the grandfather reincarnated. That's what Kim Jong-un says, as he's the grandfather reincarnated, come back because he loves you. He loves the North Korean people so much. But if he loves the North Korean people so much, how come they're all starving? You know, and he has these pleasure squads that'll go village to village, and they'll just pick out, like, the prettiest girls. They'll be like, her. And they'll pick out hundreds of girls. And these hundreds of girls become concubines for the capital, for the elite, you know, for Kim Jong-un himself and the people around him, that surround him, which is nuts in itself. There's a documentary about that, too, that I haven't watched yet. But anyway, so she gets to America, and she lives in Chicago now. But she said it was very scary. She was like freedom terrifier. Like when she went shopping for a pair of pants, you know, they asked her, what pair of jeans would you like to buy? Because they weren't allowed jeans in North Korea. You know, you had a uniform basically that you wore, not like a military uniform. Some of them, everybody had a military uniform, but they also had, you know, gray clothes, no color, that they would wear. And so she seen all this color, and then she says that the decision to make to the decision to pick a pair of jeans was so overwhelming for her that it was frightening. Like she said, at that point, if Kim Jong-un said, if you come back, I'll give you food, she would have went back, she said. All she wanted was food. And then she said it was weird eating at first because your body rejects when you've been eating off the land, the forest, and just eating very little for, you know, 15. Well, she's older than, she was 17, I think. But she said when you eat regular food, your body kind of almost rejects it, and it was really hard for her to even start to eat and get nourished. But once she got nourished and was able to think, you know, that's when things got better for her. They got easier. But she said freedom at first was very hard concept for her to understand, and making decisions was very hard for her because in North Korea, you don't make any of your decisions. The capital tells you what to do. So you don't have to think. You don't think at all. And so then, you know, she, with a full stomach, she began her, you know, critical thinking and started thinking for herself as a free-minded person. And she went to college at Cambridge, and She had a story about the things that they were teaching and how it was incredible that they were in class one day and the professor was like, okay, how many of you have a problem learning about Western music? And everybody raised their hand except for her because, you know, she wanted to learn about America, the country she lives in. And she couldn't believe it. She's like, how come these students don't want to learn about American Western music? You know, and these students even had emotion, what do they call that? the the dogs that you get for emotional support pets, emotional support dogs. And she said she'd be in a classroom and there'd be like 8 dogs for people with anxiety and all this stuff. And she's like, could not believe it. She's like, I cannot believe these people think and like what they're teaching in the class. They like, she couldn't believe that Americans thought they were being oppressed, you know, because in class they were talking about oppression and there was some people like the professor would go, if this is too much, if this is too hard for you, if this class or this lecture is too hard for you and you're too hard for them, it could cause them anxiety or whatever, go ahead and leave. And she said like almost the entire class would leave because they felt like they were being oppressed by the government. It's amazing to think about that, you know, because I'm not saying there's not oppression in America, but at the same time, you know, the oppression is it's not like it's unknown. We know about the oppression of certain class, the subclass of people, you know, that are down at the bottom of the totem, and even then they still have freedom compared to North Korea, which was, there was no such thing as freedom. They didn't have a word for freedom. They didn't have a word for love. They didn't have any of that. She's like, just to learn that there's a thing called love was astonishing to her, that people, you know, fell in love in America and stuff like that. Like, it's just nuts, the things she was saying. But one thing that stuck out to me was like, just, she said, the way that America is acting now reminds me a lot of North Korea before the rebellion. What happened in North Korea before the rebellion was the people fought each other. You know, they turned on, like, it turned on, they made the people basically not like each other, and so they would fight with each other instead of worrying about the government. And that's exactly what's going on in America today. You know, you got these groups, or tribes, you can call it tribalism, that's going on in America today, where there's one group that's like, okay, against this, and then there's one group that's against this, and one group that's against that. But one thing that really bothered me and kind of shocked me was when she said she was in Chicago, she was walking with her baby, she has a baby, she was pushing the stroller, and a African, are they, I don't know, I call them Black Americans, because they're not from Africa, they were born in America. So, 3 Black American women come up, and one of them grabs her wallet. Well, she was quick and grabbed the woman's wrist. And then, while she was holding her wrist, she called 911, and about 20 to 30 white people gathered around her and started yelling obscenities and calling her racist because she was holding the Black woman from getting away because she was getting her wallet stolen, you know? So she was like, no, I'm calling the police. I'm calling the police. And they said, yeah, you're racist. You're calling the police on blah, blah, blah. You know, and finally they forced her to let the 3 Black American women go, and the you know, 20 to 30 people that were surrounding her, she said, were white people. They're white Americans, and they told the three black ladies to run. They're like, run, get out of here. So basically, they helped them commit a robbery on this poor woman who's from, oh, I don't want to call her a poor woman and make her seem like a victim because she's not. She's very strong. But she's, if you were to look at it from the outside, you'd be like, oh, this poor woman was getting her wallet stole, and these people gather around and call her racist because she's trying to do the right thing and call the police when there's a crime being committed. And instead, she's surrounded, threatened, until she was forced to let them go. And then those same people told them to run from the, you know, run, get out of here before the cops show up, stuff like that. That actually happened. You got to watch. Yeah, you got to watch the Tim Pool and the Joe Rogan podcast of this, because it's an incredible story. And I don't do it justice. I don't have the experience. And the only person that can do it justice is her. You got to hear the words from her mouth. And you'll be just shocked. And she said that reminded her a lot of how North Korea was before the rebellion. Like, it was like that. Like, people fought in the streets, you know, or they fought with each other. And that seems to be what's happening in America right now, is like, people, like white people, feel guilt over something maybe their ancestors did. Well, you can't choose your ancestors. So, I mean, if your ancestors owned slaves back in, you know, the 1800s or whenever, you know, that's not your fault. It's unless, you know, that practice was taught to you as well, but not anymore. In most cases nowadays, people are like, oh my God, I have white guilt. They call it white guilt from all this stuff. And so what we're doing is we're putting this class of people, I don't want to say just black people, but it's mostly, you know, black Americans, where we put them on a, I'm going to be called racist for this, even though it's not racist, it's the truth. We put them on a pedestal now because of what happened in the past, and that we're tearing down things, that statues and stuff that were around during times of slavery, and I don't agree with that. I don't disagree with them removing the statue and putting it in like a museum, but could you imagine if the Jews just obliterated all the Nazi memorabilia and prison camps and stuff like that? I mean, there's some prison camps that are still standing, or concentration camps. They also have those in North Korea. I don't know the difference between a concentration camp, and the other one was, I think, just a prison camp. I think it's pretty self-explanatory, though. Labor, you're obviously working. Prison means you broke the law, and concentration camp is where they kill people, and they had gas chambers. And this is in North Korea. This isn't taking place in North Korea as we speak. They have gas chambers. They have Auschwitz, you know? That's basically what's going on in North Korea, is the Holocaust right now. And so for her to come to America and be treated this way, where she thought everybody was equal and free, like, she doesn't think about race, because she was never taught about race. The only time race became an issue was when she moved to America, and then she found out, okay, so there's people that don't like, there's people that don't like you because of the way you look, or because of where you're from, or because of something that happened, you know, 300 years ago. Now, I'm not saying they don't have a right to be upset about what happened about their ancestors, but it doesn't give anybody, I don't care what race you are, it doesn't give anybody the right to go and rob a person and be able to do that without any consequences. And that's just sad what happened to her in Chicago there. But it doesn't surprise me. Chicago's a mess. And in America's a mess right now. They got us fighting. They got us fighting, and they got racism. They have that racism dial just cranked up all the way right now, to the point where we're all divided, and we really don't want to be, but it's forced upon us by the propaganda that is in the news we watch, or on the platforms we use on the internet, like Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. A lot of those platforms play into this and egg it on to have a wedge shoved between the classes and the races and other things as well, like sexual orientation, gender identity, all that stuff. They just create wedges in between them so that there's infighting with everybody. So right now, America is at war with itself, when really we should be gathering together as one, because our government is fucking taking over. And you would not believe how much control China has of America already. I mean, look at John Cena just had to apologize. Oh man, I gotta check to see what time is. Okay, so just look at John Cena had to apologize for calling Taiwan part of China or something like that. And it's like, yeah, it's ridiculous. I wouldn't apologize for that. And then you got, oh God, I'm not going to remember her name. It's Candace. Let me see if I can pull it up here on real quick. Candace Owens. Candace Owens is very smart. If you have time, she's also on Tim Pool and Joe Rogan's podcast. Go to the Tim Pool one, was very good with her. The title of the Tim Pool podcast with Candace Owens, it says something about talking about UFOs, but they don't talk about UFOs at all. I think that's kind of just a title Tim used to try to keep the video up on YouTube as long as possible, because once they find out what they're talking about, then YouTube will take it down. They're talking about the coronavirus vaccine and all that stuff, and it got into a pretty deep conversation, and it's very interesting. That's another interesting person, is Candace Owens. She's very smart. But yes, this Yanmi Park, you have to go. I can't explain it any better than what I just did, because the feeling is not there. You have to sit down, watch the podcast on YouTube. The Joe Rogan one, you'd have to watch it on Spotify. But if you watch, but the Tim Pool one, you can watch. It's a good one too. She goes through a lot of stuff. She explains a lot of things on that one too. The Tim Pool one you can watch on Facebook still, but Joe Rogan, you know, he's not on Facebook anymore. I don't know what happened there, but now he's on Spotify, and Spotify allows, if you have the Spotify app on your phone, you can watch the video. And I highly suggest watching the video so you can see her reactions and how she reacts to things, because you could tell some of the things she talked about bothered her, like how people died because she escaped, and how, you know, kids were eating dead rats, and the one kid that had his intestines hanging out of his back, who was still alive and trying to find something to eat, that really bothered her. She started, you know, obviously started tearing up and getting emotional. How could you not, with everything she went through? The whole thing is just, it's an emotional fucking punch to your face. It really is. And it's kind of a punch to your face to wake you up and say, oh my God, we're lucky. Like, she was like, everybody complains about the homeless here. If you're homeless in North Korea, you're shot and killed. She's like, you don't have the freedom to be that. You know, she's like, it's crazy how people complain about homeless people here, but it's amazing because you have the right to be homeless here. It's their choice. A lot of people choose to be homeless, and that's true. A lot of people don't want to live connected to the grid or anything like that. They just want to live a simple life, homeless, sleep on the streets. You know, they have their friends on the streets, whatever. I'm not homeless, so I don't know how it goes, but all I know is, you know, I've known some homeless people, and they're like, no, I enjoy being homeless, or that's their lifestyle as a grifter, or not a grifter, like, they just drift, a drifter kind of lifestyle, where they don't have to answer to anybody, is why they like the lifestyle so much. Some homeless people are different. They were forced to be homeless because of the situations that were put on them. So anyway, yeah, just check that. Definitely check that out. Joe Rogan, Yon Mi Park on Spotify. And then also go to YouTube, Tim Pool. Follow his channel and subscribe to that. And watch the I always butcher your name. I'm sorry. Yon Mi Park podcast that he has on there, and also watch the Candace Owens one, because that one is also another just boot to the head where you're like, oh my God, dude, you just twisted my brain into a pretzel. So yeah, those are amazing, amazing stories that must be heard. They must be told. And the fact that they're not talking about this in Congress, what's going on in North Korea, is baffling and upsetting. They should be, and I believe they probably will be. And when they do, I can almost guarantee Yon Mi Park will be there to explain to them what the hell is going on. So anyway, this is Rocky B with the Rocky Horror Show. I just wanted to do a brief podcast about what I learned from listening to her story, and what I learned from listening to Candace Owens and Tim Pool interview. So there's Candace Owens and Tim Pool. And then there's also Yon Mi Park and Tim Pool. And then there's a Yon Mi Park and Joe Rogan on Spotify. And that's the one I recommend you watch for Yon Mi Park if you can. If you can't, just go and watch it on YouTube, because you gotta see her face. And there's times when she laughs and she smiles and stuff. And she's like, I laugh about it now, but it's not really funny because it's still going on. And she's still dealing with a lot of issues, you know. Even don't get me wrong, she loves America and she thinks it's great here, but she's like, she can't believe what is going on in America right now with all the division between, like I said, anything. It could be, like I said, gender, race, class. They always put some propaganda out there on the news that makes you, oh, I hate this class of people, or I hate this race of people, or I, you know, hate transgenders, or I hate that, you know, it's like, man, stop with that. Why do you hate so much, you know? And that's her thing. She cannot believe that there's so much just nonsensical hate. Like, she's like, she can't believe that we don't understand just how good we have it here in America. And it's amazing. It's amazing. So please listen to her book. Watch the YouTube videos of her interviews. You won't regret it. I promise you. So anyway, Rocky B with the Rocky Horror Show. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry if I butchered that up a little bit, but you got the gist of it, of what I was trying to say. Basically, this is I'm just telling you to watch these videos, because they will tie your brain into a pretzel, and they will make you think, holy shit, we are definitely blessed to be in this country, and it's a precious country, and we need to take care of it. And right now, the political part of this country is just out of control with corruption and what's going on. And, you know, it's scary to think what could happen in the future with Taiwan and with Iran. With Iran, maybe. But I think the Taiwan thing, it could lead us into a war. That'd be tough to be fighting China. They got a lot of people, and everybody there is required to do military for a certain amount of time. So every single one of their citizens is been trained as, you know, in the military. So Biden opened up the draft again, and I imagine that's why, because CIA, NSA, they probably know what's coming. I mean, who knows? This could all be all part of a plan conspiracy. It's like Candace Owens says, she's like, you want to hear a joke? Do you know the difference between a conspiracy and the truth? And, you know, it's like, what? And she's like, 8 months. And she's right. She's right. It always starts as this conspiracy theory, and then we figure out, oh shit, it's happening. It's true. So yes, check those videos out. Absolutely watch those videos. Please. I'm like begging you, please. Watch the Yomni Park. At least watch the Yomni Park video and get her story. Her story needs to be put out there. And if you have a platform or you write a blog, please do a blog about it, or do something on your platform about it to get the message out there. Because there is good people in North Korea that are suffering. In fact, the entire country is suffering, and we're not doing anything about it because of China. Because China is backing North Korea. And so North Korea is kind of the buffer zone between South Korea and China. So it's basically a buffer zone between the Americans and China. Because we guard the border down on South Korea. But anyway, yes, watch those videos. And if you ever have anything you want to talk about, just message me on either Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. It's all the Rocky Horror Show across the board. Message me and we'll get you on to the podcast, or I'll talk about something that interests you. I talk about everything from the paranormal to political stuff, and I even have guests sometimes. So anyway, yes, watch that video, please. Take care of yourself. If you're out there driving a truck, be safe, drive safe, and always keep your eyes peeled and your ears open for any strange occurrences. Anyway, have a wonderful weekend, and I will talk to you guys hopefully sooner than later. Take care now. Bye-bye.